So, typo squatting. It's an Olympic event. In the Nerd Olympics.
Wow.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT. Joining me is Donna Grindle from Carden.
How's it going, Donna? Feels so short compared to your long title.
I know. I can't. I just like, okay, Carden. Just Carden.
It works for me.
That's all that matters. Yeah. That is all that matters. Yeah. So, just got in from a flight across the continent a couple of days ago.
The flyover states is people who fly that way a lot always say they're flyover states.
Yeah. The interesting thing was the weather changes. So, like, you know, I'm leaving LA, it's like 75. I get in Salt Lake City, it's 30, snowing, and then I get back to South Carolina, it's 80, and it's like, good grief.
Well, based on our weather here, you're probably about to just get chilly. Yeah. We went from in the 70s to down right at 60 the last day. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's tough being you jet setter.
I know. Isn't that awesome? We won't talk about
middle
the
seat guy.
No, we won't talk about that. I understand why people go nuts on airplanes. From now on, I will be buying all seats on my row. Just saying.
For that price, you might as well just get one up front, you know, where it's really comfortable.
I guess. It wasn't like they show it on TV, though. The first class, I was like, is this first class, really? I mean, it's just a little bit wider seat. I'm thinking, you know, they're like pool tables up front and all this kind of stuff. No.
Poor little country boy.
I know. So sheltered. So anyway, let's dive into the podcast today where we talk about, I guess we ask the question, does healthcare suck at cybersecurity?
Yeah, it's a good question. And
we have proof.
Well, we're going to go through the analysis based on a report I was reading, and then we'll make our own decision.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You may already know the answer, but we're going to give you the answer behind the answer.
Well, we're going to tell you why you think what you think that it is the answer.
That sounds good. I'll follow that.
That'll go. We'll go with that.
So, I know we typically go with where are you going to be next, but this is the last podcast before the HIPAA boot camp.
That's right.
If you're interested in the HIPAA boot camp, this is the virtual edition. You don't have to leave your home. You can be in the boot camp in your underwear. Then this is your last chance. So go to thehippabootcamp.com or helpmewithhippa.com/bootcamp. Get signed up. Today, it starts in a few days from now, from the time this gets released. So it's going to be March. Yeah,
hopefully you're listening on Friday.
Yeah, no kidding, because it starts the very next week after this goes live. So yeah. March 14, 15, and then again the following week.
13, 14, 15.
Okay, yeah, that's right. So we'll have the 13, 14, 15. And then the following week on the 21st, 22nd, we're going to lay it out for you all. It's just going to be a fire hydrant. Full of information.
Well, that's what we call it. Yeah. It's a fire hydrant.
Yep. Yeah. So it's going to be good.
Here comes the fire hose.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it's me and David.
That in and of itself is enough.
Yeah. But you learn. You'll learn a lot.
Oh, you
definitely. You will not feel like you are lost. You may feel like you know enough to run, but... at least you will be prepared and trained enough to know what to worry about. Well, that's our objective.
One thing we talk about a lot on the podcast is that people don't know what they don't know. So when you're done with his, you will know what you don't know.
Yeah, that'll be our objective. So you know what you don't know.
Well, I mean, we've had people that even attend and thought, you know, they told us afterwards, wow, I thought I was really versed in HIPAA. And I realized, wow, there's just a lot more I need to know about.
So. Yeah, there's that whole misconception that that part that you do know about HIPAA is all there is to know.
Yeah. You know, I learned from this weekend being at the conference that people don't know what they don't know. HIPAA's
I'm getting text messages while I'm at dinner from David on the West Coast with somebody spouting off all these HIPAA statistics and facts that were absolutely not right. And he's sending me text messages about he's about to bite his tongue off. I would have been yelling. I'm sorry. I wouldn't have hold. I would have been polite about it.
Yeah. So that's
Very firm in the, because you can't spread that misinformation, not the level that was being spread.
Yeah. It was pretty bad, especially a conference of IT people, you know, kind of, you know, I'm in my zone there, you know, I'm in my own lane. And this guy's spouting out crap and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to explode. Anyway.
No. Yeah.
Enough said. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear more about it, email me. I'll tell you all about it. I may even do a video rant and send you a link to it.
Yeah, there you go.
So where are you going to be coming up, Donna?
Oh, yeah. I was ready to start talking about does it suck? the 16th, so a week from the day this comes out, I'm speaking at the Georgia Access Management Association in Buckhead. And then April 22nd through the 25th, the JAWS Society Conference in Newport Beach, California. And then from that locale, I go to Dalton, Georgia for the North Georgia Medical Management Association, June 14th.
Nice.
And I've had to cut some of that out. And, you know, we're having to draw a line in the sand. I do love that stuff, but, you know, I got to have the right ones now. So let's talk about this healthcare suck at cybersecurity.
I'm going to say, yeah.
Yeah, just without even talking about it any further.
I don't know that I could probably throw any industry in there and probably say that, but, you know, since we're kind of.
Yeah, I was surprised at this report that what they were able to do.
What I was, I think, shocked at was the people who were doing great at it. I know. It's like, what?
What? So the report is done by a company called Security Scorecard. And yeah, I'm going to get a demo of the stuff they do. It looks pretty interesting, but that the report is the key here. And it's a 2018 healthcare report, a pulse on the healthcare industry cybersecurity risks. And it's pretty interesting when you start reading it. And they do it. They do not pull any punches. Right off the bat, they say, okay, well, we did this in 2016, and healthcare since 2016, when things should have been getting better, fell six spaces.
Ooh.
That's a precipitous.
Now I got to go Google
precipitous.
Something.
Precipitous. Yeah, I know. David and I are going to try to use big words tonight. Yeah. Well, I will. So that wouldn't be too bad if it was out of 100, but it was 18 industries. So they check 18 industries.
Maybe you need to stay in your lane.
I know, really. They check 18 industries, and of those, healthcare managed to fall six whole spaces from where they were in 2016. So, you know, and that's putting them right at the, you know, enviable position, as we will say, of only having three below them.
Wow.
And I'm looking at those three, and then I'm like, well, this doesn't make me feel any better. Because the three below, you got pharmaceuticals. Well, that's virtually the same as healthcare. I mean, it's, you know, they separated it out. It could have been merged in.
Mm-hmm.
They're worse. Telecommunications, we can't function without them.
Wow.
And then you get to education. Well, how many teaching hospitals do we have? So I'm not feeling any better.
So education was on the bottom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and I kind of know that.
You have insider information.
Yeah, but it's certainly not the job that we have is to worry about that. And I'm really glad. You know, because you got all those, you know, children to worry about and stuff they get in trouble with. But the report did say, well, we have these, they listed their key insights on it to say, okay, well, We already talked about the first one. It ranks 15th when compared to 17 other major U.S. industries. Mm-hmm. It's one of the lowest performing industries in terms of endpoint security. Social engineering continue to be common attack vectors. We're not getting any better. The most common issues in the healthcare industry relate to poor patching cadence, which we're going to talk about. And healthcare organizations, even the top performers, struggle with the patching cadence and network security. So even if you're good at it, you're not that good at it.
So, oh my gosh. Oh yeah. I'll just leave it alone.
You know, but here's the good thing though. It's both good and embarrassing at the same time. The number one industry, you already said what surprised
you. I know, dude. It's like the food industry.
Well, you know, thankfully, I guess their cybersecurity protects the food supply. I don't know.
I'm just glad nobody can hack McDonald's. I'm feeling good about that. I don't know, dude. The food industry knocked it out of the park. Yeah. Good job, food industry.
Way to go. And I mean, substantially better than a lot of those. Right under that, though, is financial services and legal, which is that same area that you would have expected healthcare to be.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
But no, they're not.
And just to make it a little more scary for you, like technology services hit the middle. So don't think because you hired some IT person that they're doing an awesome
job.
It's still
better than healthcare.
It is better than healthcare, but you need to kind of know what question to ask and what things to look for.
So then I looked for the obvious things. Well, government is only four steps above us, but four. So we went past them on our way down. And nonprofits above them. Nonprofits.
Yeah, they don't have any money.
So, ironically, we're not looking good in comparison to the places where we should because the value of the data. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to go through some of these things where we can say, does healthcare suck at cybersecurity? Well, clearly, if you're comparing them to other industries, it's not looking good for them. Mm-mm. But let's look at those areas like endpoints. And I think we throw around the term endpoints all the time, and it's just like a lot of other things is the nerds do it. Mm-hmm. We assume people knew what we meant when we said it, and most people look at us like, oh, yeah, I understand. I understand you're a jerk because you don't explain anything.
I mean, I know. I mean, when they started using that term years ago, it's kind of like anything else in IT, right? When they all of a sudden things start coming around, new terms start coming around, you're sitting there going, okay, I don't know what this is either. I need to figure what out this is so I can be up, be in with the nerd crowd. But yeah.
We need to come up with our own term that we're a nerd term.
Yeah. I remember whenever ours. I was looking at the word endpoints going, I'm not exactly sure what they're talking about.
Well, it's the end point of the line.
It is.
Of the traffic.
I love it when people talk about the edge of the network.
Oh, I know, really.
It's like, what is that?
They get into all these conversations and make it sound like witchcraft. And a lot of people think it is. But endpoints, for all of those who would like an explanation, is the term you use for all of the devices that connect to the network, not the parts that are the network. So the routers and the switches and all of those parts, those aren't end parts. Those are end parts. Those aren't end points. They are parts of the network.
Right.
So clearly, them being part of the network, you don't count them. But anything else, whether it's the your desktops, your laptops, your phones, your tablets, your medical devices, printers. What else? What else we got? Servers.
Your watches.
Yeah, the watches. All that stuff. Those are endpoints. So anyhow, in the basic sense, an endpoint is that thing you're listening to a song right now, more than likely. And so they make an excellent point that it's one we've been trying to say for years. And so I pulled the quote out because, well, it's just, it was good. And it sounds like something we'd said before. And so the quote is, it only takes one outdated device to put an entire organization at risk. Mm-hmm. In many instances, poor performing organizations have hundreds of endpoint security issues. Mm-hmm. This risk also extends to the broader ecosystem. There goes the nerdy thing again. Healthcare organizations who leverage third-party providers also need to vigilantly monitor the security posture of these providers, vendors, and partners to limit exposure and ensure compliance. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, you know, they're selling stuff. We know that, but that ain't wrong. No. You know, that's not like the marketing fluff that made you bite your tongue off. And they've got data to back it up, and we know it's true. So it is a terrifying point, and it's really painful for me when we hear people all excited, and I appreciate the fact that they call us up because they're thrilled because they've finally completely decommissioned all the Windows XP computers. Okay, well, problem with that. Those were supposed to be gone before April 8th, 2014.
Yeah, a little late.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
But hey, here's the scary part. I'll go ahead and warn people. I've already done it. Windows 7 coming up.
I know. But you know, they're all excited, but the vast majority of the machines they have are Windows 7.
I know. They're still buying Windows 7, trying to.
And so Windows 7, everybody, just note to self, those will end. They were going to retirement. They no longer get nice spiffy updates like security things effective January 14th, 2020. That's less than 2 years from now. If it took over 4 years past the deadline to get rid of all of the XPs, how long is it going to take to get rid of the sevens?
Might as well start now.
One would think that you would start now. Have a plan, lay the plan out, explain it, budget for it. That's what we're trying to get everybody to do. Mm-hmm. You know, to really don't do it all at the last minute because this is what happens. Mm-hmm. So does healthcare suck at endpoint security? That appears to be the case. They were not dead last in that category, but they did drop down a spot.
So they're second to last.
They ended up. I don't know how they ended up higher, as high as they did, really, based on all the stuff. And then you get social engineering, and that's another term that we tend to use, but, you know, it's like those crazy conspiracy theories on social media. They're designed to make you click, people. If they make you say, oh, no, she didn't, then don't click. Don't click.
Yeah.
Don't share it. Don't click it. Don't do it. If it's designed to make you respond, more than likely, there's something wrong with it. And even if it is true, it's designed to make you do that. Mm-hmm. So you're being manipulated to spread not just rumors. It's not about that. You're spreading germs, computer germs. And, you know, it's just like you just walked in with the flu and spit on everybody around you. It's almost like it. But the phishing attacks, that's social engineering. And what people don't realize is you get in these Facebook groups that are open groups, and they'll go out there and just hang out there looking for targets. And people will talk about where they work, everything out there, like they think everybody else wants to be a pink Power Ranger. And what? There's a Facebook group all I ever wanted to be was a pink Power Ranger. I saw that one. I was just looking for weird names to use in a presentation, and that's my favorite. But anyway, the fact that we're not better at that either, you know, we dropped on that again. There's only two industries below us, and it's not good. Because that is, you know, it's a big thing that we talk about. I mean, it's the people. It's that, you know, we just do something on insiders and how much You know, I can't even keep up anymore. We've done so many at this point.
Yeah, well, the social, doing like you now, the social engineering thing is, I mean, it's all about the training for your people and them understanding what it is, what to look for, how to avoid it, all that. You know, training is a huge part of staying safe. But that's not going to help them with the next one.
No. The next one is all on IT.
Yep.
Really is. And, well, they won't let us do that. Well, you need to document the crap out of that. But it has to do with patching cadence. Okay. Yes, they're using that term now. I've seen it in multiple places. What about you?
I hadn't seen cadence. Nope.
Yes, I keep seeing it everywhere. The patching cadence. That means you got to get a beat going and keep making it happen. Get a beat. Boom. Every month. Boom. Patch. Patch. Patch.
So what they're saying is that people are patching sporadically, or once every couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden every couple of months or a couple times a year. They're just all over the place with patching.
Yeah, the drumline sets the cadence, which is the beat that keeps you marching forward. Mm-hmm. They don't do it, everybody scatters. Well, that's what they're talking about is we don't have a consistent plan to make sure all those patches are in place. And patching is, when you look at the simplicity it can be versus how bad it can go, it's a tough call because everybody says, well, we can't do that because it's going to brick this system. Or the vendors say, well, we don't want you getting that installed because we don't know if our stuff will work. You know what? That's making it easier for them.
Mm-hmm.
And all they're trying to do is say, well, we're not going to work too hard to make sure our stuff works right now. We got other things to do. And that security patch will just have to wait. And they need to, people are going to have to start changing that approach. We just can't afford it anymore. And I love that they made that point of saying patching accounts for the most prevalent cybersecurity issues in the healthcare industry.
Mm.
So not doing it, I mean, WannaCry spread because of failure to patch. I don't know. What was that one? 4 months it'd been out and that's what they used. Do you remember?
Yeah. It was wild.
And yeah, the vast majority of the problem that caused the Equifax breach, failure to patch. And it goes on and on and on. Failure to patch. All these ones that use the RDP exploit that hasn't been patched. All these ones that use a ton of these things that are in Microsoft Office and Adobe Flash. Oh, my word. And those kind of things, without those patches, that's how they spread. And if you just have the security patches in place, we have that. We're on top of that. And I wish other IT companies would make it a standard part of their process, the managed service providers. They don't all do it, and everybody assumes they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you bring up a good point about understanding what it is the IT company is doing for you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a huge, because you got, oh, yeah, sure, I have IT. Well, what are they doing for you? Well, I'm not sure. They fix Outlook when I call because Gmail doesn't break. So... okay, great. What are they doing around patching? You know, how are they making sure your security updates are happening and all that? Well, I don't know. I'm sure they have it handled.
Yeah, they got it going on. We're good. Ain't nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing we know about. Yeah. No. You can't do that anymore. We don't live in that world anymore. And the IT people who tell you, oh, don't worry about it. We got it handled. I'm sure we're doing that. Don't let them get away with that. Hold them down. Make them tell you.
Show me the money.
Speak. Yeah. Where were you last Friday? Drip, drip, drip.
Yep. It's like we say, hey, if it's not documented, it didn't happen. Make them show you documentation that it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need it. And you need it for multiple reasons. But one is, if something does happen, you want to be able to show, we were doing this, so it has to be something else.
Mm-hmm.
That shortcuts things. And if you're not patching and you can't show that you're patching, do you know how many list of things they have to go through that could have been potentially used against you? It's insane.
Yeah.
So, patch, baby, patch. And so then they get to, well, let's just also say, is Do we think that healthcare sucks at cybersecurity? Well, when we look at the patching stats, it appears so. They make their list and they say, here are the top five issues, primary issues relating to cybersecurity that they think in their analysis. And so of those five, three of them relate specifically to patching. And in my notes, I had clearly highlighted the three that relate to patching. And as I'm saying these things, David's highlighting the other two. So, so we're going to let David handle that.
Well, it was slow patching cadence, weak cipher, no, vulnerable host, and end of life date.
Those things, yeah. Okay. Well, those are all, yes, patching things. So the slow patching cadence, clearly that's part of the problem. Vulnerable host means, you know, part of that is it's not configured right, but the other part is it doesn't have proper patching on it. End of life date, well, we just talked about Windows XP. But then the other thing is weak cipher. There's either no encryption or inadequate encryption. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know about you, but the number of times when you say, is it encrypted? They say, yes. How? I don't know. And somebody sent me a letter, and their IT people had filled it out. And they said, well, we're going to turn this into this questionnaire. And they go through all of this stuff, and then they make a big deal about it's 128-bit AES. And I said, take that out. Just take that out. Just don't make a big deal about that. Make a big deal about 256, not 128.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll talk to your IT people later. It's a brand new client. So,
wow.
Yeah. That their IT is bragging.
Bragging. They're using old encryption.
Yeah. They're using, if you hear 128 AES, that means it's very, very old. And pretty much everybody says that's hackable.
Wow.
I you know. If you're not 256, they know that they can break that pretty easily.
I got 1024.
There you go. You know, David always has to play the big man. So we get that. And then there's this other one. First of all, I love the name. And it's one that just makes me cuss every time somebody, I catch it, you know, happening. Typo squatting.
That's whenever you're in the bathroom with your phone.
And you make a typo because you were squatting.
Okay, not so well, much.
No, okay, not so much. Well, that's like they take a URL, and you know, URL is an internet address. They take an address and they change one letter,
mm-hmm.
just one letter, and then they get that URL, and every time somebody makes a mistake in a typo, they end up at their website instead of the one they intended to go to. Mm-hmm. And you have no idea how easy it is to make these things look official.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't actually try to do that myself. I just try to figure out when I'm being tricked. And the number of times, if you just misspell Microsoft, leave off the T. Or what's the other one that somebody always has?
M-I-K-E-R-S-O-F-T.
Nah, they know they can get those rednecks faster than that. But I think it's the R and the O are switched or something like that, or the C and the R, you know, something that you do on the keyboard often.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you misspell it and just hit enter, off you go. So you need to make sure that you're not doing that, because these websites now are getting more and more dangerous as far as what they're able to do. And just crypto mining alone is bad enough.
So from a marketing standpoint, you want to buy every typo of your website you can.
Yeah, well, and a security standpoint. You don't want to get blamed, you know. But yeah, it's the typos that get people in trouble. And you know, they're not paying attention. They type it, they hit enter, and it doesn't occur to them. You know, it occurs to them when nothing's found.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I made a typo, and they look. But if something shows up, then we've got a problem.
Yep.
So, typo squatting. It's an Olympic event in the Nerd Olympics.
Wow.
Okay. So the final parts of the report, they were a little conflicting for me because it did say that the HIPAA requirements, the people that were top performers in the low-performing healthcare industry, I don't know, it's like we're the winners of the losers. But the top performers, they say that HIPAA, following the HIPAA requirements, is how they achieve better scores and, you know, pretty much all the things we talked about, HIPAA would apply and correct those or at least mitigate the damage they could cause. But then on the flip side of that, so then you're saying, you know, yeah, if you follow HIPAA, it's good. But they also point out that just like any long-term issue, the first step is accepting you have a problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, healthcare does suck at cybersecurity, but we have to accept our problems before we can face them and fix them.
Yep. This is true.
Yeah.
Very true.
So, and then we need to talk about other problems in another episode, but...
So on a side note, I want to throw this out there because I learned something new today, which doesn't happen often because I usually know everything. But I had somebody bring something up. It wasn't even healthcare related, but it does relate to healthcare. It was an IT guy, and he says he has a client. He lives in Philadelphia. He has clients that are in downtown Philadelphia. So I'm having a conversation with him, and he goes, "Man, we had the Super Bowl thing. We won all that. I could not get to my clients in downtown Philadelphia for like an entire day."
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? That's a good thing to think about when you're doing a risk analysis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens?
Yeah.
What happens if you can't, you know, get vendors on site and you have an issue? Or how are you going to do business when you have a big, you know, team franchise or local college thing happens and, you know, they shut down the streets or whatever? Very interesting.
Well, you never know. I mean, it could be a big sinkhole and traffic gets backed up everywhere or, you know, God forbid, some sort of tragedy. But that falls into your incident response, business continuity, and disaster recovery planning, does it not?
It does.
Mr. Sims?
It absolutely does.
Is that what you said?
That is.
To the IT guy in Pennsylvania?
Actually, I said, you got to be kidding me.
All right. Well, we're done for tonight. And by the way, we are recording tonight. And if you made it with us this long, bless your little pee-picking hearts, because I have been finishing whiskey as we've gone. So cheers to you for making it this far.
All right. So there's our full disclosure. Please remember to follow us on social media. Share us out on your favorite social media site. Hey, rate us. Rate us. R-A-T-E, rate us. Podcasting house. It does help other people find us, so it helps to spread the word, and we like it, so do that. Always remember, you can send in your questions and ideas to contact@helpmewithhipaa.com. Also, and again, if you're interested in the Help Me With HIPAA Bootcamp, or the HIPAA Bootcamp, rather, go to thehipaabootcamp.com. This is going to be the last chance you have to get in on this one, so get in there now while it's there. So for Donna and myself, and Jose Cuervo, whoever she's got with her. Remember that HIPAA is not about...
Rittenhouse Rye, thank you very much.
HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims. The show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.